Good. Maybe we had two. Okay, good. All right. And I now want to turn it over for more cane instruction to Winfred Haynes.
All righty. So again, good morning, afternoon there. Since I'm in Austin, it's still morning. It's around 11. So, but again, I'm glad to be here. Joni Martinez was going to join me today, but she's teaching a class and doing an assessment. So, but the topic for today is traveling on public, using public transportation, locating a seat, storing your cane, and it's standing on subways. So I will do my best to do this. So using public transportation, that's one of the things that we, you know, we get started here. We, you know, in all places, you kind of learn how to navigate just the general area and stuff like that. Then, like in front of our center, and then the area, just getting some walking time, things like that. Then when we start introducing the bus, we actually show them, you know, show them how to put the card in the card reader. The way ours is set up, the card has the corner of the card cut off, and the box, you put the card vertical and you run the card through the top left corner, it pulls it in, activates it. And then after that, if you want to slide it through a slot on the left-hand side of the card box at the top right, you can slide it through like a credit card. but what we do is we work on, okay, finding, you make sure you, when you're waiting for the bus or subway or whatever, you want to be sure that you're standing back away from it a little bit, the curb, because the mirrors hang out pretty far so they can hit you. So you find the curb, then you find the edge of the step, locate that step. Once you step up into the bus, some buses have steps to go on. Some buses, they don't have a step. One thing you want to be aware of is a lot of times when the bus pulls up, the bus drivers are going to probably hit a button to let that bus kneel down a little bit so that the step is not too high for you to get on it. Now, if it's too high, then you can just ask the driver to kneel the bus. So it'll kneel down. Once you step on the bus, what I would have you do is on the right-hand side of the, right by the windshield, there's a railing that leads up to that fare box. So you want to be really next to that rail. And I really emphasize to the students to be against that rail so that when you come up to the end of it, you're going to encounter the fare box. Because if you don't, and you're reaching your card out there, you're going to put it in the driver's lap, which they probably won't like that at all. So find that fare box and activate your card. You ask for the driver to say, can you tell me, is there seats available in the front? Or, you know, so you ask them if there's seats. Otherwise, if you're okay with it, you can just go back and locate a seat yourself. The driver is probably going to tell you, yes, there's a seat on the left-hand side. So remember, one thing is when you're facing them, their left is going, when they say left, your left is going to be their right. So you have to be aware of that. So what I've been explaining to my students is, if you're going to ask them where there's a seat, what you want to be is really specific and say, are there seats available on the driver's side or passenger side? Then this way, it's real clear to both of you where you're wanting to go sit. Now, when you go to find the seat, you're going to get your cane in a pencil grip, and you're going to, you know, basically do what we're calling a shoreline. So if you want to look on the right side, you're going to be shorelining by the back of that seat of the driver until you hit a seat. Now, when you hit the seat, if your tip is kind of low on the ground, when your tip's low on the ground, you may encounter a foot, and then you may feel a leg, or it's going to be a different feel. It's going to be like a solid bottom of the seat. You're going to kind of feel the edge of that seat. It's going to be kind of solid, or it's going to be kind of far out. hopefully, and sometimes it's interesting that people will let you hit them, and eventually, after about 3 or 4 whacks, they might say, I'm sitting here. So then you can switch to the left side and start looking for the seat. Once you locate the seat, you're going to walk up to that cane, you're going to anchor it, and you slide your hand down the cane and check the seat. Always check the seat with the back of your hand, because you don't ever know what's going to be left on that seat. One thing is that you'll have to do it pretty quick, because sometimes the drivers are not patient. So they're going to be hitting the gas, and you're going to maybe fall. So making sure that you get that seat and sit down. Now, when you're storing your cane after you sat down on the bus, typically what I will have the person do is stand the cane up between your feet. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll cross my ankle. So I'll have the cane resting against my left shin, over in with the cane tip by the arch of my left foot. And then I'll cross my right ankle over the cane. But now my feet are a little bit in the aisle, but not too much. And I tip the cane back over my shoulder. Okay, that's important that your cane's not sticking straight up. Because again, sometimes the bus drivers are not patient. So when someone comes to get on the bus and the bus starts moving, that passenger is going to reach for that cane because it's right there. And they're going to think that there's some support. So you don't want that to happen, because they might end up leaning on it, breaking it, or something like that. So that's how I store it on the bus. Now, sometimes if I sit right next to the wheel well, our buses, the seats face forward, like the first 3 or 4 seats first face the middle of the aisle. You can continue going back until you find some seats that face forward. But sometimes I'll set my cane to the left of me, right next to between the seat and the wheel well, just so it's kind of more stored out of the way. The other thing is the drivers here mostly they ask the passengers, usually they will try and get you to sit on the passenger side of the bus so they can see you, because you tell them, well, I want to get off at this stop, and they want to be sure that you make it to your stop. So you want to, but always know that where you sit on that bus is always your choice. And if you are sure that you know where you're going to get off, then, you can sit where they ask you to or sit where you want. Our buses in Austin, I know some of the buses, they announce the stops coming up. So at that point, you can be ready. When it announces the stop, reach up and grab the cord. Sometimes, like on the buses, the seat right next to the wheel well does not have a button under it. But the second seat over, if you reach underneath there, there's like a little pad that you can press to get the bus's driver's attention. It's there because when wheelchair riders are on the bus, they lift those seats up. And so the wheelchair person can have a button to push in order to get the driver's attention. So you can still use that. And I say that because like some of my friends are short, petite, and they can't reach it without trying to stand up. So then they reach underneath and press that button. Or you can just reach your heel back under there and hit it. So that's what traveling on the bus. If you sit in a seat that faces forward, or let's say you're traveling on a Greyhound and the seats are basically all facing forward, you're going to store this. You store this on the bus like this, with the seats that face forward. On the airplane with the seats, you're going to bring the cane inside and put it along the wall next to you by the window. So that's how you would store the cane. Now, for those that have the metal glide tip, one thing that as a tip is when you get on the airplane, when I store my cane like that on the airplane, sometimes I will actually take my tip off and then store my cane, so that when I get off, sometimes it won't snag, and then you end up walking off the plane without a tip. And sometimes I'll wait till I actually get out into the gate to then put the tip back on it. let's see.
Winfred, this is
yes.
Judy.
Yes.
I want to go back a little bit when you're talking about letting the driver know by ringing the bell that you want to get off. One thing you want to be sure of is that if you're not sure that you will know that your stop is approaching, you got to listen. But also, you can tell the driver when you get on, if you want to, where you want to get off, and hope that he'll remember. They may not. They don't always remember, but mostly they do. And the other thing to consider is that, you know, it's your choice. Sometimes they'll say, where are you going? And I don't want to announce where I'm going to everyone around me for whatever reason. So I'll just say, oh, I'll know it when you call it. Because they sometimes forget that they're supposed to be either there should be a recording that calls the stops, or they're supposed to be doing it. They don't have to call all of them. It's primarily lighted intersections that they have to call. But if you tell them where you want to get off, they should help you remember that.
Correct. And then in piggybacking on that, and one of the things that I tell my students, we explain it to them, is you do have that choice to, and I'm like that too. It's like, don't worry, I'll know where I'm at. Now, once you tell them that, and even if you tell them where you're going to get off, okay, it's your responsibility to be aware of that. So if they miss the stop, because at the time, another passenger may walk up there and be asking them a legitimate question about what's in the area, because they may be new and trying to find a spot, a place to get off to do whatever. And they may miss remembering that you were supposed to get off at that particular stop. So they've forgotten, you've forgotten. And so it's really on you, because you forgot their spot. So, and many times our students will get really angry with the bus driver. And once we get off the bus, I explain to them, listen, you guys, we realize that this is what you need to do, because once you get in the real world, they're not going to be telling you every time. So you need to be aware of that. And getting on subways, once you get on the subway, as you're going to be looking for a seat. Now, there's a lot of times, and even on the buses too, on the above and right in front of the seats, there are handrails, and some of them have like little straps hanging on them that you can actually hang on to. Some of the subways that I've been on, when you walk onto the subway, as soon as you step on, and you can sweep your cane left or right, and just to the left, it's still up. There's a pole right in the middle of the aisle, so it's kind of like dividing the aisle. You can find that pole, and just if you want to, if you want to be that, you can stand there, and then, or you can go ahead and look for a seat. But the storing of the cane is pretty much the same way on the subway as when you are on the bus or airplane. Now with the subway, you know, you have the, what do you call those things? Turnstiles that you have to go through, but you got to go and get a ticket. And there's a booth that you can go to, and they take your money and things like that, or give you a ticket. But some of the places now have a little kiosk that you've got to go to and put your money in. And that's now, when I went to DC in, well, actually my son and I were in Taiwan back in 2018. And that's the first time I had seen the kiosk things where you had to go and actually do the tickets and all that. So, but you, once you do that, then you run your ticket over the little scanner, and then you can go. And when you get, sometimes the subways have little warning tracks, or like basically the truncated domes, the little bumps on the edge right before you get to the door. You can hear the door open. You can feel the cold air come out of there. And then when you get to that door, you got to get on it. Now, again, sometimes these subways, they don't wait very long. So getting on there, when you step on it, if you stay to the right or left, right next to the door side, a lot of times right there, there's usually some sort of a handrail or something. So you can get that and then kind of get your balance, get your bearings, and then locate a seat. Now with going through airports, I would just tell you guys that in the scheme of things, when I go through the airport, the security people, even though they don't know me, they get this feeling that they do not want to see me going through the airport because I'm pretty. So what happens is when you go in, of course, you got to, you know, take your stuff off, put it in the little bucket so they can scan all your stuff. At one time, I would walk through the doorway. I can't do that now because I have had both hips replaced. So I have to go through the roundy-round thing. But even when I was walking through the gate, the little door, the one thing, and again, always remember everything when we talk about O&M and any other classes and all these things, everything is your choice. And it's all, you choose to do it, however you want to do it. So when we walk up to that gate, they'll say, I need your cane so I can scan it, and then I'll give it back to you. So I did that maybe twice. They ran my cane, they scanned it. And so I'm waiting for them to give my cane back. And guess what? They didn't. So they said, here, just take my hand and we'll walk through the gate. Well, I really don't like that. And I tease my, when I'm telling this story, I tease and I say, doesn't matter how pretty you are, I don't want to have you holding my hand and walking me through the gate like a toddler. I want to use my cane and go through. So after that second time, what I do now is when I go to the thing, I'll tell them I'm going to go through there, and it's not going to this my cane's not going to set that thing off because it's not that much metal on it, and unless you've got it set sensitive, then it's not going to go off. And if it does, if you want to wand me, that's fine. I don't really care. So once they'll try and take it, and I say nope. And then I just go through it with my cane. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. And even with the roundy round thing now, if I just tell them I'm going to go through there, or you can scan it once I get out. Now, once you've gone through the gate, you will, so going through the airport, you know, you can get assistance walking to the gate, and everything like that. A lot of times they're going to, because you're blind, and they're going to insist that you use the wheelchair, and you do not have to use the wheelchair. No matter what they tell you, it's law, it's policy, it's not, well, no, we don't have to use the wheelchair. So you get through the gate, and you find out where your gate is. Now, at one time I was really afraid to try and find my gate on my own, because I was like, man, that's nuts for someone blind to walk through here and try and find their gate. And then one of my friends, she was saying, okay, so Winford, this is how it's difficult and scary, but this is how you can look at it. You get past the security and everything, and you've got to the gate area, and you find out, okay, so your gate is B10, C10. And when you get out there, say, where's the gates? And they say, well, your gate's to the right, and you just got to go down till you find it. And you're in right now, the A area. And so you start walking, and just think about, okay, that main area that the carts run up and down, and the people are walking up and on, that long corridor that you're walking in, that's a busy street. And now the gates are like your side streets, first, second, third, fourth street, and they're coming out into that main area. So now, once you hear that the traffic pattern, walking traffic has gone past, you come off of that intersecting street, you make your right turn and go down the sidewalk, and now you're traveling down the sidewalk paralleling that main corridor. And then every once in a while you stop and you'll say, what gate is this? And someone will say, well, it's this gate such and such. And you keep working your way down till you get to your gate. And then once you get there, then you go up to the counter and check in. Yes. Yeah.
I have a little bit different terminology in airports. I mean, what you said at the end makes sense. So the thing that you refer to as the street in the middle, that whole area where the gates reside is called the concourse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the gates are numbers, usually. So the concourse all has the same letter in it. I mean, they're all, it's the A concourse, the B, the C, and then the gates are numbered however they are in your particular airport. So you're looking for a particular numbered gate on a lettered concourse. And the gates are the waiting rooms where you sit and wait for your flight to depart. So it's sort of like the houses that you're going by, if you thought of it like that.
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So then you can find the one you want. And I asked more than once because a lot of people in airports are as confused as I am. And you don't know if they know what they're talking about when you ask. So just checking up periodically is a good idea.
Exactly. And the one thing that you guys that you want to also know is that there are some people out there that, I mean, they obviously can see that you're blind because you have your cane or your dog. And yet, because they're just as confused as you are, more confused, they'll come up to you and say, excuse me, can you tell me where my gate A5 is or whatever? They'll come up because, you know, to them, you're just another traveler and possibly can help them. So a lot of times you're assisting them, you know. So now, this one's one of those tricky ones, and I can tell you that, so I've traveled internationally to, you know, different places, and sometimes internationally, it's a different animal with how you can store your cane and things like that. But so far, I've not really had any trouble, and even in domestic. So the bottom line is this, and I always emphasize this when we're teaching this, is that that cane is your eyes. Your dog guide is your eyes. So let's say they come to you and you have your stray cane or folding cane, and they say, sorry, ma'am, we're gonna have to take your cane. You can't have it with you. We're gonna have to put it in the overhead, or we're gonna have to put it up in the front in the closet because you can't have it with you because it's a projectile. If whatever happens and it can hurt somebody. It's the same thing is, and this is the first time I thought of this analogy. It's the same thing as them walking up to you and saying, sir, I'm sorry, you can't take your dog in there with you. We're going to have to put her up in the overhead or put her in the closet because she's a danger as a projectile. We crashed. So that dog guide is your eyes. Your cane, they are your eyes. So when they tell you that, you now, again, it's your choice. If you want to relinquish your cane, that's fine. But if you don't, then you say no. And they say, well, you, how can you store it? And you can say, well, I will show you. And if you're in the aisle seat or the middle seat, you can ask the person next to you, can I please store my cane right next to you along the wall? It's not going to be in your way. I've not had anyone tell me no. But then one of my friends was saying that if she's ever gotten a no, she's never gotten no, but she said sometimes she'll, if she's in the middle seat, she'll just store it between her seat and the first seat near the aisle, but she'll pull the tip up by her feet and have it snugged up against her. And then, and that's what she's done. But most people will let you store it. The other thing in that case, what I do is when I do check in with my seat where I'm seated, so I don't have to go through the hassle after I've gotten on the plane. The one thing is I tell them, number one, I don't want a bulkhead. I don't like the bulkhead seats. And number two, I need to be, if you could seat me two seats or so in front of the wing exit or two seats behind the wing exit. Because if you're at the wing exit, they really kind of trip on the fact that your cane would block the door. And they really don't allow blind people to sit in those exit seats, which always puzzles me because it's like, let's say you got someone that's totally drunk out of their skull, how can they read? And or how, if you get someone that's illiterate, basically. So, you know, it's like you can just show blind people how to do it, explain it to us, and we're intelligent enough to know how to do that. But so those are some things that we, when we're talking about storing our canes and all that different things. So now I will go ahead and open it up for questions and, you know, comments and things like that.
Winford, Mr. Yes. Sorry, Marion has her hand raised.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a tip. My problem began with the person who booked my trip, and they used the wrong call letters. So this may not be normal. I ended up at the airport being taken to the gate for Rochester, and the only words they used at the gate were Rochester. Well, I ended up in Rochester, New York, instead of Rochester, Minnesota. So one of the tips that I have is when you get to the gate, speak to the agent and make sure that you are in the right gate for the right state, for the right city. You know, it can be troublesome. I had to spend the night in New York instead of being in Minnesota. So, yeah.
Shelley Couple has her hand raised.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll ask her to unmute.
I already did.
Oh, you did.
Okay, Shirley, have a question?
She hasn't unmuted yet.
Shirley, I'm going to ask you to unmute.
I'm sure she's trying.
She's trying. We also have Alice's hand raised. And while Shirley tries to unmute, I'll unmute Alice.
Okay.
She's unmuted. Go ahead, Alice.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I'm just to remind everyone, I'm from Bowie, Maryland, and I have access to the train and bus services in Washington, D.C. And I do know that both the train and the bus service, they have seats available for seniors and the disabled. And so oftentimes people are sitting in those seats that are not seniors or disabled. And they're supposed to relinquish these seats for you when they see you coming, if you're a senior or disabled. So I just thought I would mention that, and thinking that it's a possibility that these seats are available in other transportation hubs throughout the country. But it's definitely here for the folks in the D.C. area.
This is Judy. Alice is sort of right about that. I mean, she is right, except that there is nothing that requires a bus driver to mandate that people move. It's more a courtesy because there's no way. I mean, if someone wants to keep their seat, they can do that. And I've seen it happen where they didn't want to give up their seat. I've also seen it happen where the person, the blind person or the senior, didn't want those seats. And they were almost dragged, you know, kicking and screaming to them. So first of all, remember that if that seat would be helpful to you, you do have a right to ask that, could someone please let me have this seat. If they say no, the easiest thing is to just say, well, if someone could show me where to sit, that would be helpful, or whatever kind of help you think you need. But it is not a law or anything like that.
Yes, again,
so ADA is not the law?
ADA no. is the law, but the ADA doesn't deal with where you sit on the bus.
Yes, but they're supposed to provide provisions. That's part of the tax incentive for folks who apply by the law.
Okay, you're correct again, but now
But I would definitely ask.
About this. Right.
Here on the phone.
You I'm have a right to ask.
That's all. Yeah.
Yes.
And I remember this as a sighted person, because I don't know if I mentioned this, but I had my eyesight for the first 58 years of my life. Mm-hmm. And I used to use public transportation for like 10 years. And I remember those seats because at one point I was pregnant and somebody gave up a seat for me because I was pregnant.
Sure.
And I've had seniors come on a bus and I've relinquished my seat for them. So you know, it, since the presenter didn't mention that, I just thought it would be useful for those of you who are on the call who might not be familiar that there are seats available specifically for people in our situation. And for those people who are conscientious and courteous enough to provide that seat for us, the better for us if we want to exercise that option to have it.
Yes. So yes, I did not mention that. The seats that I was talking about that are usually facing forward are, air quotes, designated for seniors and disabled people. Now, when you're going to the grocery store, the handicap parking is designated for handicapped people. Now, if a driver comes in there that is not handicapped and they pull into that parking spot and they go into the store, ADA provided that parking spot for the people that are disabled, but someone that's not disabled took that spot. The only recourse is that they go out there and maybe call the cops to get them to move, but there's no one that's going to be able to, in that situation, enforce it. The other thing is, as you guys know now, children, young adults are way so much not as polite and respectful to seniors or anyone else that, as we were. So when they get on that bus and they take those ADA seats, if they don't want to give them up, the bus driver cannot physically make them give them up. Now, when the bus, which Judy made a good point, when the bus is jam-packed and I step on the bus, I'm telling you, I've been to track meets, my legs work, my eyes don't. And I walk on that bus and they say, there's a seat over here. And they're on both sides of the bus, right? As soon as my foot steps onto the bus and I make my turn to go to the seats, there's an octopus on me, pulling me one way or the other to the seat. And my thing is, let go of me. Get your hands off of me. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't need to sit down. I'm fine. I can stand. And I tell the driver, he'll say, give up a seat. And I say, driver, this is me, a blind person, telling the driver, I'm fine. I can stand. It doesn't matter. So then another person gets on the bus and she's just really pissed off at the driver because he doesn't make anyone give up their seats. So finally, I tell her, I'm good. And then the driver has to say, listen, ma'am, he's already said he's good. He told you that. Let's leave it alone. But it's true. Now, one other thing I was going to tell you guys. So when, again, in the airport, when they insist that you use the wheelchair, this is how I handled it. Again, I came from a track meet. The guy comes up and says, we have a wheelchair that you need a wheelchair. And we need to, as he said, well, we brought it. We have to use this wheelchair. And I'm like, no, well, I can walk, no problem. He said, no, we have to use it. Well, okay, fine. I took off my backpack, plopped it in the seat. We're using it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but yes, the ADA is there, but
this is Stuart Cross. Technically, the ADA does not cover airlines. That's under a different law.
Okay.
Well, as long as, but there is a law.
Yeah.
That covers them, yeah. But, did our student, did she try to get on?
I'm unmuted.
Okay, Shelley. Yes.
Okay, my thought, and it's probably kind of minor. I love these stories about buses and that, because I've experienced so many different things about that. In the airlines too, if you're laying your cane along the sidewall of, if you're sitting on the inside towards the window and put another idea is just gently kind of lean your foot against that cane. And that way, if there's going to be any sliding, it won't really slide away from you and get somewhere else. And that way you just are comforted to know that's where your cane is. That was really the minor thing I was going to say, but I've had to wrestle with them too over the wheelchair. And I've done the same thing, just put a suitcase in it and go on down the road, because it's like, it's humiliating when you've got two good legs and you just need a little direction. You know, it's kind of humiliating to not need that. I just feel like other people could use it more than maybe I do need it at that point. So you're doing good.
Okay. Yes.
Next is Vincent.
Okay, Vincent.
Go ahead and unmute. I'm going to ask you to unmute, or it won't let me ask you to unmute. Vincent, go ahead and unmute. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Hi. A couple of things, and it's about assumptions. Most of the times I print my my pass before leaving for the airport, and similar story to the lady that was talking about going to Rochester, New York, instead of Rochester, Minnesota. That happened to me once. I boarded a plane because I got to the gate. I boarded the plane. I was in a rush. And when the flight attendant made the announcement, the plane, fortunately, they hadn't closed the doors, that this plane was going to X, Y, or Z places. What is she talking about? It says, yeah, no, this plane is going to whatever, Niagara Falls. Says, but I'm not going to Niagara Falls. I'm going to such and such place. What had happened is that they had changed the gate. And this is, you know, a number of years ago. So obviously, they didn't check my boarding pass properly, and the seat was empty, and I had no issues there. But what I do now is that when I get to the airport, the first thing that I do is verify, make sure that my gate is still the right gate, and that hasn't been changed. Number one. Number two, I found also the hard way that just because I have, you know, gates C2, C4, C6 on my right side, it doesn't mean that 6A8 is going to be between 6 and 10. I found that the hard way, and I almost missed my airplane because this particular gate, I believe it was something like C12 or something. C12, you had to go downstairs, and it was before you got to C2 or C1.
My goodness. Wow.
Which I didn't know. So many times, you know, to ask specifically where, you know, the gate is helps. Many times, you know, people will not know because it is unusual to have, they're usually in sequence, but there are some times, and I know because it happened to me that they are not all the time. And number three about the cane, I do the same thing. You know, you should put it on the side, but now I'm more comfortable taking my folding cane and fold it up, and I put it in the front of my seat there. It's right next to me. It's in nobody's way. Yes, it is different. It is heavier than the straight cane, but I have it with me all the time. I can use it anytime. And in case of an emergency, I know where things are at, and I'm not disturbing anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see, Dolores Wright is next, since you're unmuted. Go ahead, Dolores.
Yes, I just wanted to tell my story. My daughter and I was traveling to Cleveland in the early morning hours, and the conductor asked someone to give up his seat because of the double-decker train. And he wanted me to sit on the first part of the train. No problem. But in today's society, I feel very uncomfortable. And even on the bus, I've had people, the bus driver, I have an aide with me. And when we get on the bus, someone sitting on the seat, in the front seat, they would ask them to move. But today's is not good because of the climate. I take it as a safety issue because people do not want to. People are under a lot of stress for different reasons. So I just say now you just have to be careful. You can go back and move to another seat, I think, for safety reasons. Things have changed. People have changed. and people not as respectful as they used to be.
Yes.
You find some very nice people, some very good people, but you find a few, just for some reason, they're very unhappy with their life, and they would definitely make yours miserable if they can. So if you can, you ask the bus driver, and sometimes they might even take it out on the bus driver.
Yes.
So if the bus driver tells you sit here and it's empty, if you can move back, just go ahead and move back. It saves everybody a lot of problems.
Here's one of the things
I'm saying this for safety reasons.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So there's one time I got on the bus and there's a blind person and they're wanting everybody to give up their seats. Okay. And that's, you know, that's good. Now, when they are insisting, which it happened, and I didn't find this out until I sat down and we were down the street a block or so, that they really like pushed this girl to give up her seat. Once I sat down at that point, that particular day, I did take the seat. At that point, I find out that the girl's pregnant. So now they forced this pregnant girl to give up to give me her seat. Now, who do you think felt like a really big heel? Mm-hmm. I did. It was not a good feeling. So that's why if I want it that day, I'll take it. But usually I just don't. I just stand. Yeah. So do we have another question? Or
Next one is Patricia Jenkins. I've asked you to unmute.
Hi. In light of what everybody said, it's up to you. It's your choice. And, all should feel that we are independent in our own ways. Wow. And I think that's what it's all about, is your choice. I have a good time at Atlanta Airport when they get a wheelchair, because Atlanta, Georgia's airport is like Atlanta, Georgia City. It is huge, enormous. And even when I was sighted and I went to that airport, I couldn't find my gate, because you have to go a long ways and then you go under the ground to the little train, the subway, whatever it's called. And then after getting off of that, then you got to go another long ways, and we might have to take that subway again. When the subway doors open, everybody just walk out. I mean, you have to move out of the way because a lot of people are walking out, and then you have to do a little trick to jump into the door because the door is automatic. Mm-hmm. So I really had a good time getting in that wheelchair, meaning that I didn't mind getting in the wheelchair for Atlanta Airport. Washington Airport, Washington, D.C., same thing. It is humongous and it is crowded. And I doubt very seriously if I could have found my gate at Atlanta, Georgia. So I think it all depends on the person, and it depends on where you are. Some airports are very small. In Portland, Oregon, the airport is very small. I could pretty much find my way. I don't need a wheelchair. So I think it all depends on, you know, what you are doing or where you are or your situation. Everybody has a free choice.
The other piece to that too, which you're correct, is that the other piece to that is where people are with their travel skills and what they've learned and how much they've trained. And a lot of it has to do with that also. But again, this all comes down to your choice.
This is Stuart Frost. I just wanted to say a couple of things too. The other thing you want to consider is you may want to find out whether or not you actually have a jetway to get through. A lot of times if you have a small with the regional jets, you're going to have to walk outside. You may want assistance them. Mm-hmm. And again, I think a lot of it is, like they said, very situational. And the other part is I want to clarify, and if this is correct, with the straight cane, you're supposed to lay it down flat against the fuselage, because I know there was one point there was a specific FAA regulation that required that. I don't know if that's still in place.
Yes. Along the fuselage is where you really want to have it, and
you want it down on the floor. Yeah,
you want it to be, as long as it's stored And because sometimes it's gets kind of squeezed between the armrest and the wall, but as long as it's against that fuselage, it does not have to be flat.
Oh, okay. They may have changed that, because that used to be. And many, many, many years ago, we all fought a fight to basically keep our canes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us, and I know Judy probably will remember, Sanders, some people got arrested and all kinds of things. Back when, in the late 70s and early 80s.
I've read a lot about that, and and like I said, with the metal glide tips, in some cases like that, I will take the tip off and then store the cane, and then when I get off the plane, replace it, put it back on there. Yeah. So, but again, the main thing that I want to say to everybody here is that all of these things that we talk about and explain and teach is your choice. It's your choice. It's about the skills that you've learned. It's about what you're willing to not give up, or what you're willing to give up. And that it's all about that.
Okay. I have two more hands here. Joseph, there's a Joseph Thompson. I'm going to ask you to unmute.
And while you're doing that, I want to say that we didn't talk about that the cane tips can come off and go back on the straight canes.
On the straight canes, yes.
And I don't, we didn't explain. I always have trouble getting it back on. I would never take it off because I'd never get it back on.
Exactly. Oh, I've got a bazillion techniques to help you get that cane tip back on.
Now you tell me. Go ahead, Joseph.
I forgot to think about that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I just returned from a trip to Ohio and D.C., and this is the first time I had gotten assistance to get through the airport, and it was really great. I mean, they were very friendly. They made it so easy for me to get through there and to get to my gate. The first shot was with a wheelchair. I felt kind of funky, felt kind of weird sitting in a wheelchair. I can walk pretty well, but
yes.
The lady was taking me to my gate, and she was telling me how little pay they get for doing what they're doing. She said they only pay them $6 an hour.
Oh,
wow.
And I don't know if she was playing me or what, but yeah, I did give her a $20 tip for getting me to my gate.
Oh dear.
But prior to that, I said, I don't need a wheelchair. Just lead me, let me, just lead me to the gate. And we walked after that. So that's a better option for me. Thanks.
Yeah. And when you do that option with the guide technique, and this is one thing that I always emphasize too, is when you are being guided, don't be passive. Move your cane left and right and stuff, and start kind of scan your head left and right to listen to what things are going on around you, so that you're being an active passenger instead of passive, because then you may need to go back on along that path again. And if you've scanned it a little bit, even though you're being guided, then you have a better idea where you're going to go back.
We're gonna have to do we still have any more raised?
We have two more hands. Let's see, Dana and then Judy Nelson,
and then we'll be good.
That all right. So see if you can make it short, ladies.
They're already unmuted, so they're ready to roll.
Right. I unmuted myself. My issue right now has nothing to do with airlines, but it does have to do with mass transit. I found out that our bus that I take to go downtown on occasion is now going to be going out of our transit center, which can't accommodate to all buses. And my concern about that is the situation with masks and unmasks, because I'm concerned it's a confined space and we have a high unvaccinated rate here. So that's kind of my latest challenge, and I don't know any way to get around it.
On our buses here in Austin, it's mandatory that everybody that get on those buses have a mask on.
Yeah, in fact, and it's mandatory across the country. It's a federal thing.
It's supposed to be. But there's a difference between probably local communities and how well they enforce it.
Correct. So and, then Ms. and then the next person was
Judy Nelson.
Nelson?
Go ahead, Judy.
Hi. I would like for someone to address the information about airports is useful, but can someone address baggage claim, getting to baggage claim and claiming your bag if you had to take something that you had to check as opposed to putting overhead?
This is Judy. I just ask a passenger, can you help me? Or I stand in front of the carousel and reach my hand forward and touch each bag as it goes by. But if I think I can't grab it, I just ask someone to help me.
Yeah.
When you touch each bag by, is there something that I specific that identifies yours so you'll know when you're touching
You could put something on it so that it did. You can get locators that you can make click, by the way, you know. But you can, the easiest thing though is to just say to the person next to you, can you help me find it? It's blue and it's whatever it is.
Put something definite on the handle, like something yellow, orange, whatever color, or a certain texture.
Something tactile. My wife puts yarn on her suitcases.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Or put a.
All right, everybody.
Yeah, get a tile and put it in there, and you can use a beacon like that to find it.
Winfred,
yes.
Thank you. Thank you for a wonderful week of cane travel. We're all going to go out and go around the world now.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
You. So thank you so much. And I hope you're going to join us tomorrow for our final orientation. And maybe you can give us one more tip or something.
Okay. And that'll be tomorrow at 1?
Yes, 1 Easter.
Okay, great. All right. Everyone have a good day. And actually, Jamila, I have my oldest sister is named Jamila. And she spells it J-A-M-E-L-A-H.
It's close. She just got... This Jamila got an extra E in her name.
Yeah.
So there.
Cool. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we're going to end this recording, if we could. Can we stop this recording? Maybe